This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Real Dirty by Megan March. Read for you by Elena Wolf and Sebastian York.
1. Boone. As soon as the last chord of my brand new single dies away, I jam the microphone back into its holder and stalk off the stage, leaving the lights and the roar of the crowd behind me. Where the hell is she? Boom! Great show! Nice job! Over the noise of screaming fans, people yell to me, but I ignore it all and head for my dressing room. I don't have shit to say right now. Only a few people knew about my proposal plans, and I can't stand to see the sympathetic expressions on their faces. I don't need anyone's fucking pity. It's not like I was stood up at the altar. My girlfriend's flight was canceled or delayed, and she's not answering her phone. I'll just have to come up with a way to top this one, somehow. Amber better have a damn good explanation for where she is. I know she's independent and just as busy as I am, but that doesn't mean I don't frigging worry when she goes MIA like this. After shoving open the door with my nameplate on it so hard it smacks into the wall and bounces shut, I flip the lock and lean back against the wood panel. At least my parents aren't here. Jesus. That would have been more than I'd want to deal with. They're my parents, and I love them to death, but my mom would have alluded to this being the universe's way of telling me I need to think about what I'm doing. Marriage is sacred, Boone. Are you 100% sure that she's the one? You would think Ma would be thrilled at the thought of adding another daughter-in-law to the family, but it's safe to say she was more excited about me turning down my community college baseball scholarship to try to make it in Nashville. When I packed my rusted-out truck with my guitar and clothes, she hugged me hard and dished out her special brand of wisdom. You do what you need to do, Boone. We'll always be here to support you, and you better believe I'll be first in line to buy your record as soon as it releases. Ma didn't have to wait in line for shit. I hand-delivered the first copy the label gave me to her house before release day, but that didn't stop her from going down to Walmart and buying everyone they had on the shelf, all 16 of them. Because that's my mom, supportive to a fault on everything but this. Tilting my head back, I focus on the white drop ceiling above me. Normally after a concert, I'm riding high, but tonight I'm off my game because of Amber. It's not every day you have an epic proposal planned and the person you're going to propose to doesn't show. Someone pounds on the door behind me and I shove off the wood as it vibrates. Hey man, I got the keys to your ride. Want to get out of here? The voice belongs to Zane Frisco, one of the openers. The crooner with shaggy blonde hair picks up plenty of the women I pass on because I'm not looking to cheat. This tour has been a pussy parade that launched his career to the next level. When I don't answer, he drops his voice. Vultures are circling. Press must have found out about your plans. Time to roll. There's no way I'll make it out of this venue without being spotted, especially if the press is foaming at the mouth to get a story. It takes everything I have not to turn around and punch through the door. I flex my hand into a fist. It's been a long time since my tattooed knuckles pounded into anything. Putting my hand through the panel isn't going to change a damn thing, though. Uncurling my fingers, I turn around and yank it open instead. Frisco leans with his shoulder against the door and nearly falls inside when it swings wide. Thought you were tunneling out under the wall. He straightens and holds up my keys and the pair of brass knuckles that serves as the keychain. Your security detail is clearing out the press. Thought now would be a perfect time to get the hell out of here. After a couple of months of touring together, Frisco gets it. Sometimes you just need to walk away from all the shit that goes along with being able to draw a crowd big enough to fill a stadium. I grab the keys from his hand and we stride back toward the stage where my new obsession waits. The completely restored Olds 442 is as sweet as fuck and was delivered only yesterday. Other than backing her off the trailer and driving into a room for the press to drool over her and then up onto the stage, I haven't taken her anywhere. I was going to drop to one knee beside her and ask Amber to spend the rest of her life rolling through the back roads with me, but we all know how that turned out. My fingers tense, wanting to try to get her on the phone, but what would be the point? She's got to be on a plane. Otherwise, she would have called me back already. She'll text me from her condo asking me to come over when she gets in. She didn't know what you were planning, so cut her some slack, I tell myself. I'm trying to give her some grace, but my patience is wearing thin. Sometimes you just have to roll with the punches, so why not get out of here and put the 442 through her paces? As soon as I lay eyes on the slick black and red paint job, I feel lighter. I jerk my chin at Frisco in the direction of the muscle car. Let's go. The engine growls like the bad bitch she is as I roast the tires in the parking lot of the venue. In my rear view, two men in black suits stand with their arms crossed over their chests, watching me disapprovingly as a cloud of smoke fills the air. Tough shit. My security, my payroll. Which means I can do stupid crap like this and they can't say a damn thing. You gonna let Tweedledee and Tweedledum follow us tonight? Or are we gonna act like we got some goddamned balls and go have some fun? Frisco asks, the taunt clear in his tone as a roadie waves me toward the open gate that leads out of the parking lot. He's still new enough in the industry that he can go places without being recognized, but I don't have that luxury anymore. You know anywhere we can go without being mobbed by people? I'm not in the mood for that tonight, man. Frisco lays his arm along the open window frame. I got the perfect place in mind, but first, let's see what this beauty can do. 2. A half hour later, the smile on my face is in danger of becoming a permagrin. Damn, it feels good to tear around town in the sweetest piece of American muscle I've ever owned. We only had to duck into one alley to lose a cop, which shows you just how much I've held back. Last thing I need is a reckless driving charge for the press to chew on and blow out of proportion. Frisco laughs his ass off as we head back toward downtown Nashville and his apartment. He's got one of those lofts in a rehabbed warehouse somewhere around here. Where am I going? Am I dropping you off? His laughter cuts off. Fuck no. That was just the warm-up, right? We need some booze. I slow as traffic gets heavier near Broadway. All the people crowding the streets reminds me of playing for tips in some hole in the wall on 16th Avenue before I finally landed a record deal. Everything happened fast after that. One day I was sleeping in my car and the next they were putting me up at a hotel I couldn't afford on my own, all because some record exec saw dollar signs when I played. Worked for me. Where we headed? Take a left up here. He points toward a dark side street. Even though I'm questioning whether he's got his directions backward, I turn. Two blocks down. A few minutes later, the glow of blue and green neon lights appears up ahead. The fishbowl. The logo looks exactly like you'd think. A blue bubble of a fishbowl with green writing in the middle and a matching green fish inside. I slow, intending to pull up to the curb, but he points toward the next side street. Take a right and park in the back. Might help keep someone from spotting the car and trying to track you down. Good looking out. I guide the 442 around the back of the crumbling three-story brick building and park next to a rusty Javelin. Frisco is already climbing out of the car and shutting the door when I stop and look at it. I wonder whose ride this is. Frisco shoots me a grin. Only the hottest woman I've met in this town who keeps turning me down. You fucking serious? We're here so you can try to get laid by some chick who shot you down. He pauses, his fingers wrapped around the crooked handle of the back door of the building. Guess we'll find out. Frisco yanks it open, and for a second, I consider leaving his ass here and going home. It would serve him right. The light from inside streams through the closing door, and Johnny Cash's gravelly voice slips out. What the hell? It ain't like I've got anything better to do tonight anyway. The inside of the bar is like plenty of others I've been in. Stale aroma from years of smoke hangs in the air of the high-ceilinged space, longer than it is wide. A scarred wooden bar stretches down the middle section of the left wall, probably about 30 feet in length. The walls are plastered with photos of country legends from a bygone era, and the one nearest to me has an illegible message written to Rhonda above the scrawled signature of Merle Haggard. Frisco makes a beeline toward the bar where a woman with an incredible rack and a wild mane of dark hair works the taps for two people seated on stools. She's got to be the one Frisco's after. I can't argue. The man has impeccable taste. I tear my eyes off her and survey the only other patrons in the bar. The couple looks like they've been taking up space since Merle signed the picture on the wall. Frisco may be right. No worries about a security problem here tonight. I doubt Fred and Ethel have ever heard of TMZ or would know who to contact to report a celebrity sighting. But just to be on the safe side, I tugged the bill of my worn baseball cap lower before crossing the scraped concrete floor.
3. Ripley. With a practiced snap of my wrist, I flip the tap and drop a hand to my hip as Zane Frisco approaches the bar with his trademark cocky grin. If he asks me out this time, what will that make? 5 times? Obviously, it's flattering, but that doesn't mean my answer is going to be any different than it was the last 4. I have to give the guy props for being persistent, I suppose. Shouldn't you be fighting off groupies backstage right about now? With a raised eyebrow, I set a pint glass of Miller Lite on the bar napkin in front of Earl before grabbing a second one for his wife, Pearl. The older couple has been coming to the fishbowl for as long as I can remember, even back before everything changed. They've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in this bar, and if I were ever to take Miller Lite off tap, I'm pretty sure one or both of them would die of a heart attack and haunt this bar for the rest of its days, however few days that may be. Snatching up the towel in front of me, I wipe away any stray drops of beer and attempt to shove down the negative thought. The fishbowl may be a dying tradition, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't be spotless. Frisco leans forward, his elbows on the bar, and his grin shifts into what I'm sure would count as a panty-dropping smile, if I were the kind of girl to wear panties, that is.
What would I want with a groupie when I can come here and see your beautiful face?
He's not short on the charm, but I'm immune. I drop the rag in front of me and cross my arms under my breasts, not worrying about whether it pushes them up higher under my George Jones rockin' with the possum v-neck. Put it in a song, Frisco. It'll get you a lot more play than you're gonna get in this bar tonight. He shakes his head, keeping that smile intact.
Someday you're gonna say yes to going out with me, and I'll let you apologize for all those times you shot me down.
I don't hold back, dropping my arms and letting my laughter go free.
Points for eternal optimism, but it ain't happening. You know my rule. Better men than you have tried and failed to get me to break it.
His cocky grin tilts.
Such bullshit, Rip. You and your rule are about the only things that make me wish I was still playing in bars and crashing on couches, broke as hell. If I'd only known.
Frisco winks at me, and I know he's not taking my rejection any harder than normal. He's not stupid, and he doesn't lack for options. He'll probably leave here, stop at a bar with customers who are under the age of 75, and pick up a girl to take home. And I'll be going upstairs alone again to take care of business myself. That's if I don't fall asleep as soon as I climb into bed, because I'm running on 5 hours of sleep total in the past 2 days. I shut down the momentary flash of fatigue and pin my smile into place.
What are you drinking tonight, Frisco?
The usual. Plus whatever he wants.
Frisco jerks his chin toward the direction of a man stepping out of the shadows near the back entrance. Crap, I need to change that light bulb. When did it go out? As soon as the thought enters my head, it's replaced by a flash of female appreciation.
Damn!
Frisco is no slouch in the build department, but the way this guy's broad shoulders, muscled chest, and thick biceps stretch out of his faded black t-shirt has all the spit drying up in my mouth as he strides closer. Wow. That is a man. His battered baseball cap is pulled low, hiding his face, but I can make out the dark scruff of a beard on his chin. My gaze slides down to the ink on his arms, and the parts of me that haven't seen any action in longer than I want to admit roar to life. My survey drops lower to take in his worn jeans and black shit kickers before dragging back up to his face just as he lifts his head to meet my eyes. No way. Zane Frisco did not bring Boone Thrasher, country music's reigning bad boy superstar, to my bar. I've gone too many days without sleep. I'm seeing things. But when those black motorcycle boots step closer, I know it's not the lack of REM cycles screwing with me. Boone Thrasher is in the fishbowl.
Jack and Coke. Heavy on the Jack.
His deep voice is just as raspy as it sounds on the radio, and my nipples peak. Nope, not happening. Danger. Abort mission. Frozen like a deer in the headlights under his intense blue gaze, I force myself to spin around and face the mirrored wall with glass shelves holding bottles of liquor. Squeezing my eyes shut, I take a deep breath. Celebrities are only good for one thing, and that's trouble. Except, with one phone call, I could fill this place with enough women to put the fishbowl back in the black for the month. I let the vision play out in my brain. Instead of gawkers coming to see the bathroom where former country legend Gil Green was murdered, people would be packing the bar, buying drinks, and trying to get close to the country music entertainer of the year. The skin on the back of my neck prickles and my lids flutter open. In the reflection, Boone Thrasher's gaze slams into mine. My hand freezes in midair as I reach for the half-full bottle of Jack.
You trust her?
His words come out as gruff as when he growls into the microphone at his concerts. Not that I've ever had extra cash to splurge on a ticket to one of the big stadium shows. To the right in the mirror, my peripheral vision catches the blur of Frisco nodding his shaggy blonde head, but my attention stays focused on the face beneath the shredded brim of the black hat.
Ripley's good people. She ain't gonna say shit to anyone about us being here, ain't that right, darling?
Those blue eyes bore holes in me as my tongue darts out to swipe over my lips while I gather my wits to respond. I start to speak, but no sound comes out. Clearing my throat, I shake my head first instead. No one is gonna find out you're here from me. Thrasher nods at Earl and Pearl.
Can I buy that round for you, folks?
Earl and Pearl aren't slow, especially when someone is offering to make their Social Security fixed income budget stretch a little further. Earl's reflection turns to the certified platinum recording artist.
You buy them all night and we got a deal. I can play deaf, blind, and dumb. Just ask the wife.
Pearl twirls around on her stool, surprisingly nimble for her age, but what's even more impressive is that her peach-tinted curls don't move at all. One night, after several Miller Lights, she finally let me in on her secret. Aquanet. Hold down the sprayer until your finger can't take it anymore, and then go for another couple seconds. Your hair won't move for days. I cringe inside, wondering what in the world she's going to say to Boone Thrasher.
Handsome boy like you should have a sweetheart keeping you home at night instead of out at the bars. Maybe if you didn't have all those tattoos, you'd find a nice girl. Ripley here could use a date, but she won't take up with no celebrity types. Never, ever. Not after Rhonda done-
And that's enough. I spin around, bottle of Jack in hand, and accidentally use it to knock Pearl's Miller Lite over, splashing it across the bar and onto her powder blue polyester pants.
Oh my word, watch what you're doing, girl!
So sorry, Miss Pearl. All my fault. Her faded green eyes study my face, not missing my pointed scowl.
Well, I never. What's wrong with you, child? Now I gotta go dab myself off so this doesn't set. They don't make polyester like this anymore.
With a huff, she slides off the stool and toddles toward the restroom. Earl doesn't seem fazed a bit. He holds out his hand to Boone, not even watching his wife.
Earl Simpkins. That's my wife, Pearl. We're what you call regulars around here.
Boone Thrasher shakes Earl's hand.
Nice to meet you, sir.
When he releases it, he chooses the stool two over, and Frisco sits down next to him. No one says a word about the fact that I doused Pearl with beer to shut her up. Boone Thrasher leans both forearms on the bar and studies me from beneath the low bill of his hat.
How about that Jack and Coke?
4. Where the hell did Frisco bring me? That's the question on my mind as I watch the dark-haired bartender pour a long stream of Jack over ice before topping it off with a shot of Coke from the soda gun. Ripley. Is that what the old lady said the bartender's name was? Frisco's attention hasn't left her since we walked into this place, and I can see why. Her curves are poured into her jeans, and she's all tits, ass, and thick, shiny hair. Basically the opposite of Amber. My girl is rail thin, like so many women in the industry who feel the pressure to keep any extra pounds off because the cameras will just add them back on. No matter what I say, I can't get her to eat a burger to save her life. I can't picture this bartender picking at a salad with no dressing or cutting a piece of ahi tuna into tiny bites. No, she looks like she'd just as soon dive into a steak and stab someone with a fork if they tried to take it from her. The mystery isn't why Frisco wanted to come here, but why she keeps turning him down. When Ripley slides my drink in front of me, wordlessly, she reaches for a pint glass and aims her gray eyes at Frisco. You sure you want your regular? Last chance to try something different. She holds the glass under the tap and waits. Who do you think I am? Give me that bud, baby girl. Her fingers curl around the handle and squeeze tight. How many times have I told you not to call me that? In the bar mirror, I catch Frisco's wink at her. And yet I keep calling you that. So who do you think is more stubborn? She drops a hand to her curvy hip and stares at him. When I say no, I mean no, Frisco. I'm not playing hard to get. I'm just not interested. He slaps his hand against his chest. Wounded. Nearly mortal. You're lucky I got such a healthy ego or you'd give me a complex. Ripley rolls her eyes and pulls down the handle to start the glass filling with beer. The stereo system kicks over to Willie Nelson, and I take a drink, appreciating her heavy hand with the jack as it slides down my throat. I soak up the music and old-school atmosphere as Frisco and Ripley talk. Pearl returns from the restroom and starts up a conversation with her husband about something that happened in 1967. I let it all wash over me, and the bullshit weighing me down slips away. So I may not have gotten engaged tonight, but there's no time limit on that. I did, however, debut a kick-ass new single and got to put my sweet new ride through her paces. The only worry I've got left is what happened to Amber. My phone stays silent in my pocket, and worst-case scenarios play through my head until I push them away. 2 hours later, my question is answered in a way I never could have guessed.
5. The back door flies open, slamming against the brick wall. Unfortunately, it's not a new customer to bring the nightly total of patrons up to 5, and the current count up to 3, now that Earl and Pearl have gone home. No, it's my least reliable waitress. Brandy Lear has never been accused of being dependable or intelligent, and if she weren't my only cousin, I would have fired her dozens of times over. It's almost 2 hours after midnight, so I have no freaking clue why she would even bother showing up for work so late.
Rip, I need some money.
Brandy holds out her hand as she picks her way across the worn concrete floor of the bar on ice pick heels.
Dirty whore,
a squawking voice croaks out. Damn it, I whisper under my breath. Esteban has been asleep long enough in his cage that I'd half wondered if the ancient African gray parrot had finally kicked the bucket. But no, all it took was Brandy's voice to wake him up.
The fuck was that?
Boone Thrasher whips around, looking toward the corner of the bar where the voice came from. A huge purple cloth covers Esteban's cage, so he's not readily apparent.
Shut up, you dumbass bird,
Brandy hollers at the corner. With her slurred words and smudged heavy eyeliner, it's clear my cousin decided to go out tonight rather than come to work and earn a paycheck. And yet she's still here looking for money. I wish I could say this is the first time that happened. Cue eye roll.
Dirty whore,
Esteban says again. The parrot has about 82 phrases in his vocabulary, and none of them are fit for polite company. For some reason, when a particularly flamboyant celebrity came to the fishbowl one night about 15 years ago, he brought Esteban with his entourage. Instead of taking the bird when he left, he gifted him to my mama as a present because she was so amazed by him. Pop was pissed, but mama convinced him that Esteban would be a great addition to the place. He's been here ever since. Despite his shocking vocabulary, I can't help but love him. I mean, how could you not love a parrot that drops the F-bomb at least a dozen times a day? For the sake of business, I do try to keep him quiet at night so he doesn't freak out customers. Once I tried to move him up to my apartment, but he screeched for 2 days straight until I brought him back down to the bar.
He considers himself some kind of watchdog and actually knows how to bark, which I think is impressive as hell. I have no clue how old he is, but at this rate, I'm pretty sure he's going to outlive me and the bar.
Is that a parrot?
Boone Thrasher is off his stool and crossing the room before I can stop him. Frisco isn't the least bit of help. He's sputtering into his beer, laughing his ass off. He tried rapping with Esteban the first night he came into the bar, but gave up when Esteban squawked,
"You sound like shit."
I glare at Frisco, but he just laughs harder. "Please, just..." I start to tell him to leave Esteban alone, but Brandy wobbles on her heels.
"Oh my God, am I just shit-faced, or is that Boone Thrasher?"
Thrasher stops 5 feet from Esteban's cage and cranes his head toward Brandy, who already has her phone on and the camera flashing. I think it's safe to assume he's never coming back here now. Not that I wanted him to, no matter how well he fills out that t-shirt. For the last 2 hours, I've been making the least intrusive study possible of the man, and while his face has been lined with tension and frustration, he didn't look downright unfriendly until just this moment. He closes the distance between him and Brandy in less than a second and rips the phone out of her hand. His fingers fly across the screen, and I assume he's deleting the pictures.
"Can't I have one night of goddamn privacy?"
He bites the words out with a glance at me that carries an accusation of betrayal. Brandy raises both hands in the air before adopting a breathy tone.
"Baby, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean nothing by it. Why don't you just come on home with me and I'll make it all better? You don't ever need to think about that cheating slut again."
The atmosphere in the bar crackles with fury as Boone's gaze shifts to Brandy.
"The fuck did you say?"
The question comes out like a growl from between gritted teeth as his chest rises and falls. Boone Thrasher is not a small man. My best guess, he's 6 feet tall, 220 pounds, and when he straightens his shoulders, he looks like he's about to rain the wrath of God down on my cousin for running her mouth. What is she talking about? I dig through my brain for the celebrity gossip that I try to avoid but seem to absorb through osmosis anyway. Thrasher has a girlfriend, a skinny blonde whose sound is more pop than country. What is her name? Ruby? Jade? Some kind of gemstone, I think. When Brandy stands there stunned and mute, Thrasher repeats his question with menace.
"The fuck did you say?"
Brandy's mouth drops open as she slaps her hand against her push-up padded chest.
"No way. You haven't even heard, have you?"
Frisco pops off his stool, probably because he's seeing what I'm seeing, which is Boone Thrasher 2 seconds away from losing his shit.
"Whoa there, Brandy. You might want to watch your mouth when you're talking about Boone's girl."
Brandy, never one to be accused of having excessive IQ points, half laughs, half coughs.
"Well, she sure as shit ain't Boone's girl anymore. Amber Fleet married some bajillionaire Hollywood producer tonight in Vegas and told TMZ, aka the whole world, she's gonna be the biggest star on the planet."
"Dirty whore,"
Esteban crows right before the room goes silent.
6. I've never hit a woman in my life, but it takes everything I have to keep myself from slapping the words back between this bitch's tobacco-stained teeth. "What the hell are you talking about?" Rage vibrates through my every syllable. If she were smart, she'd back away. The bartender must realize I'm a grenade with no pin because she comes out from behind her station and grabs the skinny bitch's arm to drag her 2 steps away from me. The bitch cackles. "This is priceless. Oh my God, I wish I'd gotten it on camera. I could have made millions." "Brandy, shut your mouth. Go upstairs and sleep it off in the spare room." "Dirty whore." "Shut up, you stupid bird." The bitch yanks her arm out of Ripley's grip. "Don't tell me what to do. I just came here for money because I'm not done partying tonight. But if he'd just give me back my phone, I'll have every paparazzi in this town here and get my payday that way." Desperate, money-hungry women are all the same in my book, parasites. I open my hand and her phone drops to the concrete floor. "The hell is your problem?" she yells. When I lift one boot and bring the heel down hard on it, her screech morphs into a banshee wail. You asshole! She raises an arm to take a swing at me, but I catch her wrist in midair. How much? I bark the words at her, my jaw clenched. What? How much to keep your fucking mouth shut about seeing me here? Otherwise, I'll call my security team, and they'll make sure you don't say a damn word. The color drains from beneath her overly bronzed skin before her eyes narrow and turn calculating. 1,000. I release her hand like she's covered in open sores and reach around to pull my wallet from my pocket. Her outstretched hand is already waiting before I've got it open. Counting off the bills, I drop them into her palm and give her a hard look. You renege on this deal, I promise I will find you and you'll regret it. Her bony fingers crumple the bills into her fist. Nice doing business with you, Boone. Get the hell out of my sight. Without a look or a word to Ripley, Brandy stomps out of the bar, slamming the door behind her. Dirty whore, the bird calls after her, but even that can't pierce through the fury and disbelief gripping me. I stalk back to the bar and pull my own phone from my pocket. The screen of my phone is packed with notifications. Texts, missed calls, messages. I bypass them for the gossip site. One search is all it takes to see that Brandy was telling the truth. Amber Fleet marries Hollywood producer in surprise Vegas ceremony. I hurl my phone at the wall with the strength I used to reserve for pitching a strike, and it shatters against Hank Williams' face with a roar that drowns out Kenny Chesney's lies about no shirt, no shoes, and no problems. For fuck's sake, why would you do this, Amber?
7. The bottle of Jack is empty, and Frisco pushes himself to a standing position. He spent an hour on the phone talking to people about the situation, while Boone Thrasher sat at the bar in silence, pouring liquor down his throat. The man is going to be hurting tomorrow, and not just his pride. I've spent enough years behind the bar to recognize a wicked hangover in the making. You done, man? It's my job to assess how hammered someone is before they leave my bar, and Frisco's slurred words and sloppy movements tell me that he's blasted too. You want me to call you both a cab? Boone finally speaks.
I got a car.
He wrenches the keys from his pocket, and something goes flying before pinging against the concrete floor when it lands. My eyesight is far from perfect, but the meteorite-sized stone on that silver circle means it's obviously a ring. Oh my God, was he going to propose to his girlfriend? The question slams into me harder than Boone hit the whiskey. That would make sense why he got so pissed and then went quiet. I let the possibility turn over in my head a few times. Wow, wouldn't that be a kick in the balls? You're planning to propose? Carrying around a rock big enough to anchor a boat, and your girlfriend gets married to someone else. And this, my friends, is why I avoid celebrities at all costs. Their lives aren't normal, and I want nothing to do with the craziness that clings to them like ticks on a hound. Boone stumbles across the floor to retrieve the ring, but instead of shoving it back in his pocket, he crosses back to the bar and slams it down on the wood. I wince, hoping it didn't scratch. Then again, what does it matter to me?
Here, I think this'll more than cover the tab for tonight.
He waves toward the stools where Earl and Pearl sat earlier.
And theirs.
Jingling the keys in his hand, he says to Frisco,
Let's get out of here before the circus shows up.
While his attention is momentarily distracted, I snatch the keys from between his fingers, and he whips his head around to look at me.
What the hell? Give him back.
I shake my head. No can do. Dram shop law. If you drive away from here and kill someone, I'm going to get sued because I overserved you, so you're just going to have to take a cab or call for a ride. Boone lunges across the bar toward me, but I'm sober, which means I'm faster and in better control of my body. I'll lock them up and make sure you can get them tomorrow if you're sober.
Come on, Rip. We'll be fine.
I shoot Frisco a dirty look. No way. Call a cab or get a ride. There's no way I'm letting either of you act like a dumbass when it's going to blow back on me. Should have picked a different bar, boys. Boone whispers something under his breath, but I don't catch it.
Crackerhead,
is Esteban's less than helpful contribution to the conversation. Frisco laughs at the bird's outburst, and Boone aims a killing glare in his direction. Frisco tries to shut down the laughter, but barely contains it. The country superstar finally looks at me, really looks at me. His blue eyes blaze with rage and pain, cutting into me. I hold my breath, waiting for him to speak. The question he asks takes me by surprise.
Would you ever marry a guy while you were dating another? Because she ain't the first one I've known to do it.
My answer, as stupid as it may sound, is honest. I'd have to date one first. Boone huffs out a sound that's supposed to be a laugh, but comes out more like a grunt.
Too smart for all of us.
He turns to Frisco.
Get us a damn ride. I'm done. Fucking done with all of it.
Own it, man,
Frisco says, finally containing his mirth and lifting his phone. Boone meets my gaze for another beat.
Anything happens to my car overnight, I'll own this bar. Get me?
I slide my fingers into the brass knuckles on the keychain and make a fist before reaching under the bar and pulling out a baseball bat. Threaten me again, and I'll break your face.
Told you she was a feisty one,
Frisco says to Boone, and I roll my eyes. 10 minutes later, the back door of the bar closes behind Zane Frisco and Boone Thrasher as they go outside to meet their ride, leaving the ring on the bar. Just one more reminder why avoiding celebrities is the smartest thing I've ever done. Now, where do I put this freaking ring so Brandy doesn't find it and sell it?
8. I roll over with a sledgehammer crashing into my skull, my stomach rolling, and my mouth drier than the Afghani desert we landed in for my last USO tour. What the fuck happened last night? Last time I woke up in a bed I didn't recognize, I swore it would be the last time. I jerk my head from side to side, hoping I'm not going to find a head of hair on the pillow next to me that doesn't belong to Amber. I did my man-whore stint just like every guy does when he hits it big, and all the women come crawling out of the woodwork, wanting to jump on your dick just because you stand on stage and sing. But no more. I've got a woman, and I'm faithful. No loopholes, no, if she doesn't know it didn't happen. I don't cheat because I'm a better man than that. Bits and pieces of last night filter into my brain, and I work on fitting them together. A parrot, a gorgeous brunette. Amber getting married in Vegas. I bolt up to a sitting position, my head throbbing like it's being crushed in a vice and my stomach liable to revolt at any moment. Amber got married in Vegas. No, that didn't really happen. I drank too much and my mind is screwing with me. I search the nightstand, but my phone is MIA. I shove my hands into the pockets of the jeans I'm still wearing and come up empty. Hank Williams' face flashes through my mind, and the vision of my phone shattering against it. Fuck, that means it really happened. Amber Fleet, my girlfriend, is now another man's wife. It's not a bad dream or some kind of sick joke, it's my screwed up reality. I roll to the side, my feet finding the floor, and steady myself before standing. Doesn't matter how many hangovers you've had, they all suck. From outside the door, which I now remember is in Zane Frisco's loft, I hear a low, angry voice. I push it open and glance out into a large brick-walled room. Frisco is on his phone arguing with someone. No way. No one knows he's here. You send them, the press will be on their ass and he'll be hounded. When I step out, the hinges creak behind me and Frisco looks up. Who is it? I ask. He's up, Nick. You want to talk to him? Because I'm not playing telephone with you two. Nick Gaines, my agent. Someone must have told him that I left the venue with Frisco last night. I hold out my hand for the phone and Frisco tosses it to me with an apologetic look. Sorry, man. Press is having a field day with this shit. About what I expected. Not your fault. It's Amber's. Even though neither of us voiced the words, I'm pretty damn sure we're both thinking them. I lift the phone to my ear. You got Thrasher. Couldn't you have picked a starlet with bigger tits than ambition? Watch your mouth, Nick. I don't care what she did, but you don't get to talk about Amber like that. He sounds shocked when he speaks again. You're defending what that bitch did? No, but I'm still not letting you talk shit about her. You want to be pissed about it? Get in line. I'm the one whose girlfriend didn't bother to tell him that she was going to elope on the night he planned to propose. Nick releases a long sigh. The press is losing their shit with this. They're making it sound like you're the jilted groom and she's the skank-ass hoe who couldn't keep her legs closed. Their words, not mine. At least you've got sympathy on your side. She just kissed her career in country music goodbye. No one will touch her after this. Word is that her label is already looking at the contract to decide if they can drop her today. Sympathy. I don't want anyone's fucking sympathy. All I wanted was a damned woman of my own who could hack living this life with me and the hope of having a family. Just a fragment of something normal. Like my folks have. Like my brother has. Instead, I get this. If I had taken that community college scholarship to play baseball, I bet I'd already have a wife and three kids by now. Instead, I chased my dream, and now I'm the dumbass Amber Fleet jilted. Who uses the word jilted anyway? What's the plan, Nick? I know you've already got one. My agent huffs out a laugh. That's what you pay me for. You're going to ride this wave for all it's worth. I open my mouth to object with a no way in hell, but he keeps going. I know you don't want anyone feeling sorry for you, and you'd rather crack some skulls, but here's the thing. You're going to make one statement, a classy, sincere statement wishing Amber well in her new relationship, and then you're going to step away and go back to doing what you do. Pour it all into the music. The press will keep going with the story, and I'm sure Amber won't be smart enough to shut her mouth, but by the time you finish this next album, people are going to eat it up. They'll want to see this side of your music, and you'll have another platinum on your hands. I let his words and predictions wash over me and say nothing. Of course, for Nick, this is all about the money. The fact that my pride is taking a beating doesn't compute. Wait, why didn't I say my heart is taking a beating? That's a hell of a good question, and one I don't have the time to answer right this moment. What do you say, Boone? We got a plan? I put together a statement, we release it to the press, and then you can stay out of sight behind the gates of your house, shoot some shit, race some dirt bikes, and write the album that's going to have you set for the rest of your life. I turn his suggestion over in my head. Release a statement to the press. That's not me. I want a press conference. I'm going to have my say. Boone, that's a bad idea. If you let your temper set it up, Nick, you work for me. So set the fucking press conference up. With a long sigh, he goes silent for a few moments. This could backfire and screw up all the plans I worked out. And if you think I'm the kind of guy who's going to go hide behind a gate and just release a goddamn statement, you still don't know me. Fine. When? Today. This afternoon. 4 o'clock. Where? That's your job. Fine. Fine. I'll get it done. According to the press, Amber's MIA right now, which actually works out in our favor, I think. My only response is to hang up the phone. I don't want to hear her name. I don't want to say her name. How the hell did this happen? I was supposed to wake up this morning in bed with a woman who would be my wife and have my kids, but she's doing that with another man. I can't even begin to articulate all the ways that's straight fucked up. For the first time in a long time, my fingers aren't itching for a pen to write down lyrics to get this out onto paper. Instead, there's nothing. Empty. I pinch the bridge of my nose and Frisco takes the phone from my hand. You really think a press conference is a good idea? What choice do I have? I gotta put it out there, and I'm not doing it through some pansy-ass statement my people release. You gonna be able to handle the questions? I lower my hand and meet his gaze. I didn't say shit about answering questions. I'll say my piece and walk. Frisco's face says what his mouth doesn't. God help you, I hope you're right. I pat the pockets of my jeans and come up empty in the search for my keys. Please tell me my 442 is somewhere safe. As soon as the demand is out, I remember a bright neon sign and that damned parrot. Where was that? I try to picture the sign in my head. The fishbowl. Zane moves toward the kitchen space in his loft. Let's eat some greasy bacon and eggs, and then we'll go get your car from Ripley. My stomach twists at the suggestion, but I know it's the right one. I need to kick this hangover now so I can kick some ass later. Ripley, the gorgeous brunette, who threatened to bash my head in with a baseball bat. Great. This is going to be just fucking great. 9. Frisco pulls up between the Javelin and my 442 behind a rundown brick building. In the daylight, this place looks like it's only a few years from being condemned, but all I care about right now is the fact that my car looks like it's perfectly untouched. If I hadn't been so wasted and pissed last night, there's no way in hell I would have left her in this neighborhood. Not a friggin' chance. I don't care that she's insured, because this isn't the kind of car you can replace. She's been specially restored by Logan Brantley of Goldhaven, Kentucky, to fit my vision of what badass American muscle looks like. The peeling paint of the Javelin beside us reminds me of how the Olds looked when I dropped her off myself at a shop. Before we climb out, Frisco's phone starts ringing for the sixth time since we left his loft. I swear, if it's another call for you, I'm going to break this thing like you did yours. I'll get a new phone this afternoon, and you can kick them all to me if they keep bothering you. Sorry about that, man. And thanks for everything this morning. I've toured with some assholes who wouldn't piss on me if I were on fire, so it's a nice change. Frisco gives me a chin lift. You changed my life when you asked me to be on that tour, but that's not all. You didn't treat me like shit. You treated me like a friend. So that's what I'm giving back to you, brother. I extend a hand. Much appreciated. It won't be our last tour either. Stop out at my place anytime. Tonight you'll find me burning one by the fire, wondering how all this shit happened. Sounds like a plan? I reach for the handle and pause, my mind on the woman I'm hoping is inside with my keys. What's the deal with this chick? She gonna be a problem? Frisco looks toward the weathered building ahead of us. Ripley? Yeah, the dark-haired one from last night. She's good people. Won't let me take her out on a date to save my life, all because of her rule. He throws up air quotes around the word rule, and I vaguely recall a mention of something like that from last night. What kind of rule is that? Most groupies can't wait to jump on a famous dick. Frisco chokes out a laugh. Rip is about as far from a groupie as I can imagine. I've been trying for a few months and getting nowhere. Maybe if I'd met her before the label signed me, I would have had a chance. I don't know. At this point, I'm pretty sure I've been friend-zoned. Ouch. I give him a mock wince. You win some, you lose some. Or your girl marries some stranger in Vegas, and you find out from a skank in a bar. Even though I'm trying to make a joke, it comes out harsher than I intended. Frisco gives me a rueful look. You win on that one. For all the good it does me. Frisco waits for me to make my way to the door and pull it open before throwing the Jeep in reverse and gunning the engine to pull out like an asshole. The sound carries inside and a dark head pops up from behind the bar. We're closed, the husky but feminine voice calls before she turns to face me with a box clutched to her chest. In the dim light, she's just as built as I remember from last night, not that it makes a damn bit of difference to me right now. Not here to drink. I'll take my keys and be on my way. When she frowns, I step into the light. Recognition flashes over her face as I leave the shadowed entry. She cocks a hip. Too bad. I was hoping you'd forget and leave that gorgeous piece of muscle here long enough for me to consider it abandoned. Not a chance. She sets the box on the bar before coming toward me. Pity. You got those keys? I put him in the safe just in case Brandy got any ideas about coming back and trying to take it. Let me go grab them. Brandy. The skank who shook me down for a grand. Ripley turns toward a door behind the bar as I ask, she gonna cause problems? She pauses, cutting her gaze to me with a thoughtful expression on her face. Brandy doesn't know how to do anything but cause problems. I don't know what she'll do if you want the truth. I can't control her any more than I can control the weather. My mood darkens like a thunderstorm rolling in, which is the visual I get from her answer. You better hope she doesn't, because I promise you won't like the consequences. Her posture stiffens, her fingers flexing on the door handle to what I assume is the office with the safe she mentioned. Are you threatening me? Her question comes out more as a challenge. I'm telling you the truth. She needs to forget last night ever happened, and we'll be all set. Ripley's gray eyes match the thunderstorm I pictured as they narrow on me. If you want to make sure Brandy forgets, you're going to have to take that up with her. I don't have a damn thing to do with it. And what's more, you don't get to walk into my bar and start throwing down threats like you own the place. She releases her grip and crosses her arms over her chest. If that was your plan from the beginning, you should have waited until you had your keys first, because I think I've just gone and forgotten the combination to the safe all of a sudden. Oh no, she fucking wouldn't. I open my mouth to deliver another warning, but she talks faster. Guess you're going to have to call a locksmith or a wrecker to help you out. And God forbid if they realize who you are and call the press. You'll be up to your ass in cameras and reporters before you can say, I'm sorry for being a dick, Ripley. My temper, already strained to its limit in the last 12 hours, is close to jumping its chain. You've got 2 minutes to have my keys sitting on this bar, or I'll have the cops here. A cocky smile tugs at her lips. And whose phone you going to call them with? Because yours lost the battle with Hank Williams's face, and I swept up the pieces this morning.
10. They're all the same. Every celebrity I've ever met has that constant streak of entitlement running through them that somehow exempts them from the burden of politeness. From beneath his ball cap, backward today, the vein in Boone Thrasher's forehead pulses with pissed-off rage. He wants to strangle me right about now. I recognize the signs. But guess what? I'm not feeling all that charitable toward him either. No one comes into my place and threatens me, especially not after I've called to make sure that his car wouldn't get towed by the wrecker company, even though he parked in a loading zone overnight, and I locked up his keys for safekeeping. Then there's the matter of me barely sleeping because I jolted up at every noise and looked out the window in my bedroom at least a dozen times to make sure his car was safe and sound. I don't care whether he knows all these details, because only one thing matters. Boone Thrasher does not get to come in here and act like an asshole to me. I'm waiting for the outburst when he squeezes his eyes shut and balls his hands into fists before stretching his tattooed fingers out again. When his lids lift, those bright blue eyes clash with mine.
You ever had your entire life dissected by the media, laid out for the public like your privacy doesn't even matter?
At his question, my heart lurches in my chest and my mouth goes dry. He doesn't have a damn clue. I shove open the office door and slam it behind me, closing my eyes and leaning on the desk as I haul in a breath. I know better than anyone what it's like to have your entire life dissected by the media and laid out for the public, like your privacy doesn't matter. I also know that they don't care about the collateral damage they cause in getting their story. But I'm done trading barbs with Boone Thrasher. Now I just want him and his damned car out of here so my life doesn't get sucked into the press again. I drop to my knees in front of the safe and spin the dial, screwing up the combination twice. My mom's birthday. Ironically, also the day she was murdered. The lyrics to Brad Paisley's mocking and oh-so-accurate song Celebrity filter into my head. Boone Thrasher may have lost his shallow girlfriend to someone who could give her more than he could, but at least he didn't see his mother's body lying in a pool of blood on the bathroom floor, in the bar where he has to work every day. On the third try, I get the combination right and yank out the keys with a shaking hand. I rise on unsteady legs, open the door, and stride out, slamming directly into his broad, hard chest. My first instinct is to jump back like I stepped into a burning house by accident. Boone snatches the keys from my hand before I can gather myself. Thanks, he says, wrapping his fingers around the brass knuckles hanging from them. Don't mention it. The words escape my clenched jaw on my next breath.
I didn't come here to piss you off, Ripley, but it seems I already did, so I'm going to make myself clear.
His gaze holds me in place.
If I hear any reporter or gossip site,